Test Nisan, Sunday the 14th of April, Rabbi Zalman Krasnow. Blood libels. This week's Torah Away has been sponsored with both Simchas HaBar Mitzvah of David Rose. Mazel Tov.
Good morning. As always, it's a pleasure to be back at this very special venue. And kudos to the indefatigable Dodi Itzkowitz for his tireless efforts. Perhaps today we'll discuss something a little bit more machshavadik, something off the beaten path. I hope it will find favor in your eyes. In 1144, in the town of Norwich, England, there was a little boy named William who was found dead with stab wounds in the woods. Thorpe Woods, for those of you that are familiar with the geography of Norwich. It's important, the location you'll see in a minute. They didn't know who had murdered him. Comes along a bishop, Thomas of Monmouth, and he claimed, and I quote as follows, he heard from a converted Jew named Theobald of Cambridge that every year there is an international council of Jews at which they choose the country in which a child will be killed during Easter. This is because a Jewish prophecy says that the killing of a Christian child each year will ensure that the Jews will be restored to the Holy Land. I'd like to know who are the members of this international council and where that prophecy is. Monmouth claimed that in 1144, England was chosen and the leaders of the Jewish community delegated the Jews of Norwich to perform the killing. They then abducted and crucified William. This is the earliest historical evidence of the blood libel. This was followed by similar accusations in Gloucester, 1168, Bury St. Edmunds, 1181, Bristol, 1183. Everybody knows Richard the Lionheart, 1189. The Jews were attacked by the masses, York, the castle, the Balei HaTosfos that were murdered. This is all recorded history. And it is clear without a doubt, all historians agree, that this first blood libel, which then had these following blood libels, was the result of the eventual expulsion of the Jews from England in 1290.
Do we know what was the population of England? How
many? I don't know. It happens to be very interesting, because this hagiographer, this fellow from Monmouth, Thomas, Baruch Hashem, his manuscript went missing for about 1,000 years and was only discovered in the late 1800s. And at the time the manuscript was published, lots of back and forth was given between the historians whether or not this whole story ever happened. And it's interesting to note that most historians agree that this Thomas of Monmouth, who came only a couple years after the story took place, made up this whole Baba Maisa. And what one of them, the main points proven that the whole story was obviously anti-Semitic, was that Thorpe Wood was at the edge of the town in which one would have to walk through the Christian quarter in order to get there, from the Jewish quarter. To get to Thorpe Wood, you have to walk through the Christian quarter. And the authorities at the time said it wouldn't make any sense for the Jews to carry the dead corpse of little William throughout the Christian quarter to go bury him in those woods. Why wouldn't they bury them in their backyard? And therefore, at the time, in the late 1100s, the authorities said that this story is not true. Unequivocally, they said the story never, ever happened. And when this fellow Thomas of Monmouth came to promote his story, he was shut down by the authorities, and he was successful in just establishing a small cult in Norwich that believed his story. And as time went on, it grew arms and legs. So I don't know exactly how big the Jewish community was at the time, but the authorities did not give the story much credence. Next thing. Baruch Hashem, we live in the time of religious freedom. We don't have to know so much about Christian theology. But there's a concept called quarto decimanism. Quarto decimanism is the etymology quarto being Latin for four, decim being 10, 4 plus 10 is 14, which means the celebration of Easter on the 14th day of the Jewish month of Nisan. Why is this important? Because historically speaking, we know that Easter is very much connected, Lahavdil Elef Alfei Avdalos, to Pesach. Da Vinci's famous painting of the Last Supper supposedly is the Pesach Seder. What's important about this? Because we see a very strong tie and significance between Pesach and
Easter
and the foundations of Christianity. And so much so, the first controversy that Christians had regarding Easter was this quarto decimism, which basically worked as follows. The Christians, when wanting to know when Easter would fall out on the calendar, would knock on their neighbor's door, the local Yid, and say, Rabbi, tell me this year, when does Pesach fall out? And as soon as they would know when Pesach fell out, that's when they would schedule their Easter. And this became very unpopular amongst the Christians, because that means that our holiday is very much tied to the Jewish holiday of Pesach. We're totally on them. And therefore, eventually, this quarto decimism was abolished, and they set Easter for the Sunday following the beginning of Pesach, which is normally how it worked out, historically speaking. So we see a very strong relationship between the celebration that the Noitzrim, the Christians, have with Pesach, and obviously we all know that the earliest form of the blood libel was that the Yidden needed the blood of a Christian child to use for their matzah. So why don't we perhaps discuss the significance of bris milah, of circumcision, that has to do with Karban Pesach and matzah. We all know that on the first day of Pesach, the Haftarah is that of Yehoshua. Yehoshua then gave Klal Yisrael a bris milah, charvos tzurim, Vayamol Yehoshua as Bnei Yisrael Sheinis, because for the 40 years that the Bnei Yisrael were in the Midbar, they did not have bris milah. The first mitzvah, according to some Rishonim, that the Bnei Yisrael were commanded to, as a nation, was the mitzvah of bris milah. Like we know, we say in the Pesach Haggadah, Ba'at Eirom Ve'eriyah, that Klal Yisrael was void, barren of any sort of schusim mitzvahs to leave Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I will give you two mitzvahs, B'damai Chayi, B'damai Chayi, Dam Pesach and Dam Milah, and they all went and proceeded to circumcise themselves. So we'll start with an Arizal in Parshas Lech Lecha. The Arizal in Parshas Lech Lecha says fascinating things. One of the things that he says is as follows. He says, when you bring in a boy for his bris milah on his eighth day, there's a special name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shakai. Shakai, Misha Oimer Lailamoy Dai. The Arizal says, it's brought down, that the name Shakai is a special name that should cause the clotting of the blood in the child. There should be a refuah shalema. Zok, the Arizal, how does it work? He says the baby comes in, he lies, al birke hasandik, and his hands are like this, with his head in between his two hands, making the tzura of a shin. When his hand is the shin, this is the three shin. The dalid is when his arm is raised, the side of his arm, following the length of his body, is a dalid. And then when the mail does priya, the bris milah itself is the ois yod, and the Arizal says that is how we make the shem shakai by a bris milah. Quite comparable to, we all know, there's a shem shakai by tefillin, the shin, the kesher, the yod. This is the shem shakai. This is what the Arizal says. One of the earliest svarim that we have on bris milah is written by Reb David Milida. He lived approximately 350 years ago. And he says, another fantastic fellow, he says that when the baby comes in and we say Baruch Haba, what's Baruch Haba? The Avudraham says, Rishayim say, Baruch Haba, the gematria of Haba is 8, because it's the 8th day, Shemini Lamila. Welcome the one for the 8th day. Reb David Milida says, in addition to that, a Mayel who knows what he's doing, he should have in mind to bring in all the Shari Bina into the kid now when he has his bris milah. Mm-hmm. So how does this work? So we want to explain as follows. The Balaturim in Dvarim, Perek Lamed, Pasuk Yud Beis, says the following. The Torah tells us, Mi Yale Lonu Hashemayma, who will ascend to the heavens to bring us the Torah. Me'ever Layami. The Balaturim says, Mi Yale Lonu Hashemayma is Rosh Tevis Milo. The Baal Turim then says, but there's an extra Rosh Tevis over here, Soif Tevis. The Soif Tevis of Mi Yale Lanu Hashemayma is Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is the Shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now we all know, the Bnei Yisachar says, quotes again from the Arizal that there are 12 months, the 12 zodiac signs. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, Yudke Vavke, has 12 different permutations that it could be. And the Chodesh Nisan is Yudke Vavke, which is brought down in the Sefer Machshava. That's called Havaya Kesidron. It's a special, special month of a connection between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is straight. We'll get back to that in a minute. Rabbeinu Bechaya also, on Mi'ala Lanu Hashemayma, he says like this. He says, the only people that can be mechaven to the Shem HaMeyuchar of HaKadosh Baruch Hu of Yudke Vavke Kesidron are those that have Bris Mila. The Goyim, they could somehow have some sort of understanding in the other formations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. But only those that have Bris Mila can understand Yudke Vavke. So we see both from the Baal HaTurim and Rabbeinu Bechaya that there's a direct correlation between Mila and Yudke Vavke. So I want to explain as follows. The Targum Yonasan ben Uziel says in Parsha Shlach that Moshe Rabbeinu switched Yehoshua's name. He said, Lo yikare oid shimcha Hoshea ben Nun, rather Yehoshua ben Nun. And the Lashon of Targum Yonasan ben Uziel is, Kad ruasa Moshe al vesenusa de Yehoshua, he said to him, Koyoshiacha me'atzas meraglim, and he switched his name. What does the Targum Yonasan mean to say? So the Chassam Sofer explains as follows, and it's important to notice, Chassam Sofer is in Toras Moshe, Chassam Sofer and Parsha Shalach, and he says as follows, unbelievable, fascinating things. Zok the Chassam Sofer like this. The Yalkut Reuveni quotes from the Megala Amukos that Yehoshua ben Nun's name is something special. Ben, in Hebrew, means the son of. In Aramaic, or Arabic, Ibn is the son of. The only person we find in Tanakh who is known as the son of and is not Ben is Yehoshua ben Nun. Is a chirik, is not a sagal over there. Frek the Chassam Sofer, why is Yeshua's name different than any other member of Klal Yisrael? Zok the Chassam Sofer, fascinating. B'shem the Megala Amukos. He says like this, Bin is Miloshim Bina, to have an understanding. We know there are Hamishim Shari Bina. Moshe Rabbeinu understood 49 levels of Shari Bina. Nobody understood the 50th level. And like, come Navi Ayub Ki Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu was the highest level of a Navi. Zok the Megala Amukos, Yehoshua, in a certain oifin, understood the 50th Shar Bina and surpassed his Rebbe, the greatest leader and person that ever walked the face of the planet, Moshe Rabbeinu. How do we understand that? Yehoshua understood more in Shari Bina than Moshe Rabbeinu? Zotach Samsai, but that's why Yeshua's name is Bin. Bin Miloshen Mavin. He had an understanding. He grasped the understanding of Shari Nun. Yehoshua, what was his name? Bin Nun, the 50th. He understood the 50th level. This is the first pshat in why his name is Bin that the Chassam Sofer says. The Chassam Sofer says a second pshat. Fascinating. We know that Sarah's name was Sarai. She was unable to have children. Avram's name was Avram. He also was unable to have children with Sarah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Lo yikar yoy shimcha Avram, ki im Avraham. And the Gemara tells us it's an Isser to call Avraham Abram. It has to be Abraham. That hey is very fundamental. Where did he get this hay from? Where did Sarai get her hay from? Because Baruch Hu just took a letter. Zok the Chassam Sofer. No, there's a method to the madness. There was an extra yud in Sarai's name. Sin, resh, yud. Yud is 10. We could split yud into half. It's 5 and 5. The yud was split 50%. The hay went to Avraham. And the other hay went to Sarah. The Chassam Sofer says there's a problem over here. Because now we have an extra yud that's floating around. What do we do with this yud? The Chassam Sofer says that yud was the yud that Moshe Rabbeinu took and transplanted in front of Hoshea bin Nun's name and made it Yehoshua. Zok Chassam Sofer, we have a problem though. Because Nekudos, even though it's Torah Shebal Peh, the Chassam Sofer says we can't play around with Nekudos. If the Baal Kori lanes and he has the wrong Nekudos, it could be Ma'akev the Kriya, Rabbi Anki, right? So, where were the Nekudos for the Shva under Yehoshua's name? His name is Yehoshua. Zok Chassam Sofer, Yehoshua's real name was Ben Nun. He was the son of Nun, like every other member of Yiddishkeit, who was the son of his father. A segel has three dots. We took two of the dots of the segel, put it under the yud from Sarai, which had no nekudos. We now have a shva under the yud of Yehoshua, and three minus two that we took to put under the yud remains one dot. Yehoshua's name was Hoshea Yehoshua bin Nun bin, because we needed those two nekudos to put under the Shva. This is what the Chassam Sofer says. Miraculous. Kedai to come from Eretz Yisrael to London just to type this Chassam Sofer. Zog the Chacham Sofer, that's Pshat and Targum Yonis and Ben Uziel. Kad Ross, Moshe Anvas and Nusa de Yahushua, he switched his name. What's the Anivas? Because like this, when his name was Hoshea Bin Nun beforehand, Yeshua would walk around and say, why is my name Bin Nun? Because I'm Mavin Shar Nun. I understand the 50th Shar Bina that Moshe Benu doesn't understand. Now, that's a grace of Chashivas for Yeshua. But when Moshe saw that he was an Anav, that Yeshua obviously never had some sort of ego as follows, he said, oh, I can switch your name now and put the Yud in front, and now people won't think that you are Maven Sharnon, and they'll think that your name is Bin, because we needed the two dots for the Shva of Yahushua. He switched his name. This is what the Chacham Sofer says in Taras Moshe and Parsha Shlach. And I have a bomba kasha on this Chacham Sofer. It's fantastic, it's beautiful. It's Vasayim Yisha. Hoshea is spelled Hey Vav Shin Ayin. What nekudas are under the shin? Atzeire, there are two dots. Hoshea. Hoshea's name became Yehoshua. Yehoshua has a shuruk or a malupim, depending on which cheder or school you went to. It's three dots. The Chacham Sofer's mathematical pshat is fantastic, and we needed those two dots, but Lachari forgot about the tzeire under Hoshea, that now is a shuruk which has three dots. What happened to that one dot? The Chacham Sofer's Osh Tikkun Torah is that you can't just make up dots, you have to have a cheshbin. And therefore we took the segel from Ben, we made it into a chirik, we used that as a shva under the yud. But what happened to the extra one under the shin? So I want to say a chiddush. Every single time Yeshua's name is written in the Torah, it's spelled yud hey vav shin ayin. There's one time at the end of Parshas Devarim, the Torah says, V'es Yehoshua Tzivesi. Over there, Yehoshua is spelled differently. Yehoshua is spelled Yud, Hey, Vav, Shin, Vav, Ayin. There's no shuruk. There aren't three dots under the shin. Rather, there's a Vav with a single dot. Every other time, Yeshua's name is spelled the other way. Perhaps that one dot from that Yehoshua, when it's spelled once differently in Sefer Devarim and Parashas Devarim, is the extra dot that we use for Yehoshua's name. My own finish. M Kabbalah and Kabbal. We'll get to the Vav, time permitting. That is the Chacham Sofer in Toras Moshe. The Chacham Sofer in Chacham Sofer ala Torah says as follows. He says that Hoshea's name was Hey Vav Shin Ayin. And that is a big sakana. Why is that a big sakana? Because as we said beforehand, there are 12 permutations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is spelled backwards, out of order, it's a dinim on Klal Yisrael. It's very dangerous. And therefore, the most dangerous month is when Yud Kei Vav Kei is spelled backwards, which is the Chodesh of Haman's Geirel, which we know, the Svarim bring down, that Hashem's name we don't find in the Megillah at all. There are certain places that there's a remez to it. One of those places is, Haman said, V'chol Zeh Einenu Shoyveli. Zeh Einenu Shoyveli is Yud Kei Vav Kei backwards. That was a very strong dinam on Klal Yisrael. That's what power Haman conjured up in order to make his power against Klal Yisrael. So Hoshea was Hey Vav, is dinim. Hey Vav is backwards. It's Yud Kei Vav Kei, which means Hashem's name, if you start backwards, is Hey and then Vav. This is very bad for Yeshua. He's at risk of falling into the Meraglim. Zot Chacham Sofer, Moshe Rabbeinu, did a fantastic thing. He took a Yud from Sarai. He transplanted it to the front of Hoshea, and now it became Yud Hey Vav, which now is Havaya Kisidron. It's Yud, Hey, Vav, which is the beginning of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. This is what Moshe Rabbeinu's Chochmah was to save Yeshua Me'atzasa Meraglim. The Meraglim went in Dinin. They went to go and look at the land and to be Maitzi Diba about it. How does that work? The Chacham Sofer says, and this is we take for granted face value. He says like this, Yeshua was an Anav. Ide Anivas, you could switch these things. How does that work? The Pasuk tells us, Zivchei Elikim Ruach Nishbara. Okay, the person that is the Ruach Nishbar, he's the Anav, he's the humble, he's the Zoveach Elohim. Listen to what Chacham Sofer says. Zoveach, you want to know how you can slaughter Elohim, the name of Elohim, which is Dinim? You know how you can get rid of Dinim? Ruach Nishbar, the humble person. That's the way you can get rid of Dinim. So, Al Yidei de Zivchei Elohim, Ruach Nishbar, Kad Ruasa Moshe and Vesenusa de Yeshua, when Moshe saw Yeshua's Anivus, he says, oh, you are the perfect candidate to get rid of the Dinim. And therefore, I will affix the prefix Yud in front of your name. And that was what Moshe Rabbeinu did to save Yeshua from the Dinim. We know the Torah tells us, Ki Yod Al Kei Siyam Melchama Me'amalek Dar Dar. What's that Yud Kei? That is who was fighting Amalek. Yeshua came, he fought Amalek. What did Amalek do? Amalek went and they took their arlos and they threw them up klapei mila. Well, we don't need bris mila. What's going on over here? We said beforehand that Arizal says in Parshas Lech Lecha that the priya, when you do priya by the mila, that's the Yud, the Ois Yud of the name Shakai. And that's what you're doing by the Priya. It's not for naught that Yehoshua was added the Ois Yud, because Klal Yisrael was Nitzav in Bris Milah when they left Mitzrayim. But Priya, the first time we find that Priya Klal Yisrael did, was Yehoshua. When Yehoshua went in the Haftarah, the first day of Pesach, and he went, Veshuv Mol Es B'nei Yisrael Sheinis, Yehoshua was the first one that did Priya en masse to Klal Yisrael. So Yehoshua's name is symbolic of the Ois Yud, and Yehoshua was that Moyel who brought in the Ois Yud.
Now, the Tzibui of Priya not part of the initial Tzibui in Parshas Lech Lecha to Avraham?
No, it wasn't, and the Gemara discusses that at length, that even the B'nei Loit, which is a Machlokes Rishonim, whether or not the B'nai Keturah also had Bris Milah, it's a Dover Pashut, that they did not have Priya, and that's something that was unique and special for Klal Yisrael. Going back to Reb David Milida, he says that if the Moyel knows what he's doing, when the child comes in and he says, Baruch Haba, aside from the Haba, the Gematria of Eitha, Avru Darham says that the Milah is Begir Mashmini, he should have in mind to put in Shar Bina, the 50 Shar Bina into the child. Why does that work? According to what we're explaining, it's very nice. Yehoshua is the one who understood Shari Bina. How do you understand Shari Bina more than Moshe Rabbeinu? Rabbi Yonis and Avshut says in Yaris Dvash that Moshe Rabbeinu, we know, he, the Mechilta tells us, he was Nisrashel B'mitzvahs Milah. That's the Lashon of the Mechilta. Moshe Rabbeinu, on the way back, right, he was swallowed up by the snake, and Tzipora quickly went and did the Bris Milah, because Moshe Rabbeinu went as was Nisrashel in Bris Milah. Who came to rectify, to be mesakin the pagam that Moshe Rabbeinu made kaviyachol in Bris Milah? Yehoshua, his Talmud. He surpassed his Rebbe because he had understanding in a certain oifen more. Rabbi Yonason explains, it's not that Moshe understood any less. Moshe Rabbeinu was unique in that he was noilid mohol. He was born circumcised. And therefore, that fixing that we do to ourselves and we do a Bris Milah, Moshe was lacking. Not because he had any less chachma, like Hamnavi had be Israel, but Rabbi Yonason explains, because he didn't have the ability to go and be makir of himself to do that Bris Milah, because he was noilid mohol, he wasn't born as an oral. Mashenkin Yeshua, who was Talmud, who was not noilid mohol, he was the one that was able to understand nochat trop weiter in the Shari Bina. And that's what Rabbi Melida says, when you, the Moyel says Baruch Haba, he should have in mind to bring in the Shari Bina into the child. And perhaps that's what the Baal HaTurim means in Rabbeinu B'chayah. The Baal HaTurim says, Mi Alelonu HaShemayim, who will send us the heavens, is Rosh HaTevis Milah, and Soif Tevis Yud Kei Vav Kei Kisidron. What's the importance? What does one have to do with the other? The answer is because Yud Kei Vav Kei Kisidron is what Yehoshua needed, according to the Chassam Sofer, in order to be saved from the Atzas Meraglim. That Yud is what Yehoshua symbolizes. And therefore, Milah is Rosh HaTevis, Soif Tevis of Havaya Kisidron. We're standing here in Chodesh Nisan. Chodesh Nisan is the month of Havaya Kisidron. Yismuchu Hashemayim v'soge la'aretz. Yud kei vav kei. Yismuchu Hashemayim v'soge la'aretz. Bris Milah is the mitzvah that's done ad hayom hazeh with great simcha. That's what the Chazal tell us. It's because it's Yismuchu Hashemayim v'soge la'aretz. When the HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends down a child onto this world and he doesn't have a Bris Milah and he tells us, you go fix something up, that's Yismuchu Hashemayim v'soge la'aretz. There's gila and simcha both in the Shemayim and in the Aretz. What does this have to do with Pesach? That's what Klal Yisrael did on Pesach. They went and the first mitzvah that they had was Bris Milah. That was why we lay in the Haftarah of Yehoshua giving them Bris Milah. So there's a huge connection over here between Bris Milah and Pesach. Dam Pesach was the first mitzvah they had, which enabled them to have Dam Milah. And that's why, perhaps, the Christians took such an effort into making this blood libel. Who was this Thomas of Monmouth? Who did he come from? He came from an apostate. Thomas heard from a converted Jew named Theobald of Cambridge that every year there's an international council. This Apicurus, he came and he said that the Jews are using the blood from the Dam of a Jew, of a Christian child, for the Dam of Pesach, for the Dam of Matzah. What's the correlation? Is that they're saying that they're taking the blood, the mitzvah of blood of that we need for Pesach, the Dam Pesach and the Dam Milah, and that's what they're trying to put into the Jewish Matzah. Yeah, 5 more minutes. So perhaps that's what's going on over here with the Dam Pesach and Dam Milah. The Rishonim are all bothered with the following question. We begin counting Sfira the second night of Pesach. The second night of Pesach, we begin counting Tisperu Chamishim Yom. In fact, the Rishonim, we don't count 50 days, we count 49 days. Why is Torah say 50 yom? William of Norwich was found murdered in Thorpe Forest, March 22nd, 1144. March 22nd, 1144, in the Jewish calendar, is the second day of Pesach, 4904. This story didn't happen in the middle of the summer. This story happened on Pesach. They found this child. The day that we start counting Sefiras HaOmer. So the Rishonim are bothered. 49 days we count. Why does the Torah say Tisbur Chamishim Yom? The Torah is exact. There's no room for mistake or error. Tisbur Chamishim Yom, we only count 49 days. Perhaps, there's many Teruts that are given, but perhaps, according to what we're saying, we could answer very nicely. Really, it's 49 days. But in a certain instance, there's a 50th level. There's the Chamishim Shari Bina that are leading up to Shavuos, leading up to Matan Torah, that the 49 really translates into 50. Because Moshe Rabbeinu understood the 49th level of Bina. And that Bina that he had was surpassed by his Talmud Yehoshua. So the Tisbur Chamishim Yoim is that by us counting the 49th level, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, I'm going to be machshevit that you counted the 50th level. And that's the Tisbur Chamishim Yoim. Just to tie it into the Haggadah, a number of years ago I gave a shir over here that was titled The 16-Sided Sword in the Haggadah. And we discussed the Shem that the Torah brings down to have in mind when you do the Tzachadash Be'achav, all the dippings of the blood, that we do it 16 different times. We do Rabbi Yehuda Yonosim Em Simanim, is the Tzachadash Be'achav is 3. We do Dom Va'esh V'Simreis Ashan is another 3. And we do 10 times by the Eser Makos. So the Beis Yosef brings down, the Nesekelim and the Torah bring down, that there's a Shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is Yud Vav Hei Chaf, which comes from 16 hit, which means HaKadosh Baruch Hu should take his mata and hit the goyim. What's this yud and the vav? We know that we lay in this past week, Elio Hanavi is going to come, Hine Yom Hagadol V'Hanoira. Over there his name is spelled Elio, Aleph Lamed Yud He. He's missing a vav. And the Mepharshim are busy, where did Elio have that missing vav? What's going on over here? So perhaps we can say the Sfarim talk about this, they expand on this, Elio, why his name is Elio, missing the Vav. But if we have the Yehoshua Tzivesi, like Reb Dudi asked beforehand, we have the extra Vav from Yeshua at the end of Dvarim that we have now floating around. What are we going to do with that Vav? If we can take that Vav and then transplant it onto Elio's name, and then Elio's name is Bishlei Musay, that's what the Sfarim will explain, will bring the Geula Asida of Hine Boy Yoim HaGodol, that Elio's name will become Eliyahu. According to that, we can explain another pshat to the Shem that the Beis Yosef brings down to have b'machaven when we do the 16 drops, the Yud Vav Hach. The Yud and the Vav, the Yud is the Yud from Yehoshua that we transplanted to save him from the Meraglim. That is the Ois of Milo, which is Dam Milo and Dam Pesach. The first bitch of the Kleisel was Mechoven. And the Vav is the Vav from Yeshua's name that we then transplanted to Elio. There's two times we find Elijah the prophet in Judaism. One is Bris Milo, Elio HaBris, Amoy Laimini V'Samcheni. And the second time is Kosh Elio by the Lel Seder. It's not for naught. The Elio is found twice. There's a direct correlation. Elio Anovi by the Bris, Elio Anovi by the Seder. Mirza Shemish Ovi Zaycha, to take the Yod and to take the Vav, to put them in order, to be Machavin. Baruch Hashem, we're simple people, I'm a simple person. You just have a mind to do things just the way my father did it. And all the Kavanas that should be, we don't want to be Chas Hashem, Koytis, Benetiyas, they should all be Kisidron, everything should be smooth flowing. We should all be Zaycha to the Yudke, Vavke, Havaya, Kisidron of Chodesh Nisan, Chodesh, Asher Boy, Yeshuais, Makifais. Have a wonderful week and a fantastic Yom Tov.